Chatter and Lore.
Out of it!
Welcome to Rude Alchemy Chatter and Lore. I'm Andy.
I am Andrew.
I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ryan.
And we are the creators of Rude Alchemy. Chatter and Lore is that special place where we talk about Rude Alchemy, who we are, why we're doing it, and also tell some stories that will expand the ridiculous universe we're creating. If this is the first episode of Rude Alchemy you're listening to, thank you, welcome, we're glad to have you. But since this is an opportunity to enhance and expand the world of the series, you might have a better time if you first listen to episodes from our current season. It's called The Buffoon. And all three episodes are available right now on this very feed. In this episode of Chatter and Lore, we'll be talking buffoon, playing some game from Tom, and listening to a story from Ryan.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Hopefully. All right. I was just noting that Ryan doesn't always do what he says he's going to do. That's all.
Whoa! Let's not. Never
doesn't
once
do
have I ever
he says he's going to. Yeah,
no, that's right. You actually are pretty good at not promising and in sort of hedging your bets
and saying,
you know, I'm gonna try. You know, I'm gonna do my.
He's in that sweet spot where he under promises and under delivers. Like right.
Holy shit. That was good.
Yep. Thank you, Andy.
Starting to feel like the odd man out, I'll be honest with you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Starting.
Well, he can redeem himself with his story.
I'm excited.
Oh, God.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Should we talk buffoon?
Yeah, let's jump into the buffoon.
Okay, I'm going to get my question out of the way.
Oh, shit, we did one question.
And I'll ask the question to the whole group.
Every time.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking about this question.
See, this is the problem. This is the problem with the format. Is that it's always changing. Like, okay, so now all of us are going to take a turn in answering your question, and then all of us have to do the same thing, ask our question to the group?
You're right, let's not do that. I'll ask this question to Andrew.
I'm not saying I mind. I'm just saying we should all be uniform.
Okay, I'll ask it to everybody if that's what you're so insistent on, Tom.
Now all of our questions will have to be to everybody.
No, you're right.
I don't know if that's true.
Stupid.
That's not true. We can do... Listen, guys, we can do whatever the hell we want to do.
Exactly, Andrew. We're not.
This is our show. We don't have to follow any particular set of rules. We could start with the story. We could make Ryan do the story right now.
Just anarchy.
This question is for Andrew. It's not particularly buffoonish, but maybe a little bit. Do you ever worry about the show? Do you ever worry about Rude Alchemy and its content and the things that you say on it, whether in character or not, bleeding over into your actual professional life?
That's a very, very good question. And I think that I do because. You know, Google. But the thing is, I don't know. Because, like, remember when there was another podcast that, like, did a thing on our podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, they don't have much information about themselves. Like, it's hard. Like we were intentionally trying to be super mysterious about, like, our secret identities. And, like, they couldn't find our names. And we were like, well, like, mm-hmm. we say our names on every single piece that we've ever released. We're like, we have our names in the credits. So we're not trying to hide from anyone. But, yeah, I mean, I think Rude Alchemy is naturally kind of intentionally hyperbolic. That's a phrase I find myself returning to over and over again. Like, we're intentionally ridiculously over the top about, you know, crude stuff and, you know, in sort of being intentionally edgy about stuff. But it's, I don't think we're doing it to be edgy. I think we're doing it because we think it's funny. At the end of the day, whatever's funny wins. And so that's, you know, that's what we do. But yeah, I mean, I'm a teacher and I teach kids, students.
Obviously, the problem is
little
like
children, but
the administrators and parents will never get that nuance. So,
right,
you know, so that's the concern.
You don't have any students named Maddie, do you?
No, well, that's it. that is a pretty popular name. So, yeah. I mean, you know, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm at the point where it's like, if someone finds it and is like, "Hey, what's this about?" I'll be like, "Look, fuck you."
Yeah. Yeah. And then you'll quit, right? You'll march into that office and quit.
No. Obviously, it's like, you know, this is something that is, it's an artistic endeavor. You know, I bill myself as a writer and an artist and someone who, you know, makes stuff. So I feel like that's ultimately contributing to, you know, the overall who I am as a whole, not just like he's a guy who does poop jokes on a fake radio show. Like, you know, I don't know. I think it's a good question. Thank you for asking.
You're so welcome.
Andy.
Yeah.
Can I jump in with a question right now? Cause it kind of piggybacks off of yours, or would that mess up the way?
That's,
no, man,
if
do
Andrew
it, do
cedes
it.
The floor to you. Sure.
All right.
Oh, absolutely. Please.
Okay. All right. Well, it ties into what Andy just asked, but at one point I think we were accused of racism with the narrator.
At one point,
several points, and Andrew's explanation was, well, it's the narrator speaking this, and it's the narrator who has these, you know, these issues. Yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, years later or whatever. I mean, is that a legitimate excuse or not? I guess that's my question. Is,
well,
does that still hold, you know, I don't know
if that was Andrew or not. I think that may have been me, actually. Well, I don't know, I just remember my response to a tweet about sexism one time was, just because a character is sexist doesn't mean the writer of that character or the creators are sexist.
Yeah,
and I think that's legit. I believe that to be legitimate.
I do like that, and I was just wondering if you're still sticking to it. I guess
I still stick to that. Yeah. Okay. I believe right. that. And really, I think, you know, on issues of sexism and misogyny, I'm probably the most qualified man in America to. I don't know why that's so funny. I mean, clearly, all right.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. That's a very serious response.
I was kidding. I'm wholly unqualified on all issues.
Yeah. I think that goes for all of us.
Yep.
All right, so Andy asked a question, Ryan asked a question. Tom, do you have a question?
Sure, yeah. Whalen, what
Rice.
What so far let me feel has been your myself. Favorite narrator story?
Oh, okay. Oh, thank you, Tom. That was very kind. To not attack my worth as a human being in your question. let's go with favorite storyline. I'm trying to remember. I really like when Courtney was first introduced. That was what, second season?
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah,
I mean, that was a lot of fun, you know, just to work with that and the writing and reading your writing. But Maddie, I gotta say, Maddie was just my type of black humor. It was really dark humor, dark humor, not black humor. I'm sorry, dark humor.
Yeah. Jesus. No, we know what you mean.
That was. Is he talking to
he's
Ashley?
Talking to his wife about his infant child.
Sorry.
So funny.
Forgot I wasn't on mute.
Oh, were you? I thought you were asking that. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I was asking. Ashley ran across the room with Ruth. Is everything okay?
Oh.
I thought you were like, Waylon, chill out. It's going to be okay.
No, but this recent Maddie is... whenever I have to like stop and really think if I want to continue reading, I know it's good. You know, if I want certain words to come out of my mouth, or I really start questioning why Andy knows so much about conditioning, grooming, I think is the word. I mean, that was
oh god,
that was a lot of fun to read.
Oh. Cool. I'm the last one to ask a question, I think, and I will ask Tom. It's a good piggyback off of Tom's question to Ryan. I think, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you're the only one of us four that has not found your way into the frame story, into the narrator story, to like voicing characters that fit into that frame story. Ryan obviously does the narrator. Andy obviously does the announcer. And then this season I got to do Maddie's voice, and I'm just wondering, like, do you want to find your way into the frame story?
I'm constantly feeling left out. So I suppose I'm used to it now. It hasn't really occurred to me, but thank you for adding one more thing to the list. as I lay down to sleep tonight and I have my nightly anxiety attack, I'll be thinking of that.
I'm so sorry.
No, I always enjoy when you guys write something. And I think, like, to what Waylon said, like, I think we know each other's voices very well. And I think we're able to write for each other as well as we are for ourselves. It's really fun to see that, you know, like, oh, wow, Wertner knows exactly how I would say something. Kane knows exactly what my thoughts are. It's disconcerting to a large degree. there's also a sweetness to it, I suppose, so. Yeah, if you guys want to include me in the next thing, that'd be cool.
Oh. Well, I think what's interesting, I mean, we can just sort of riff on this and then we can be done with questions.
You know what, real quick, I do recall at one point I had started something. And you emailed me, Kane. You were like, no, we're not doing that. And it involved all three of us being ourselves in the narration. Frame story.
Oh,
and like after the first episode, you were like, "We're not doing that right now." So I almost was that, there. I was almost there for a sec.
Was that during Bruff? Was that like? I think that was during Bruff.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was early on.
And that's bad. That's bad form to not yes and. But I think what I was thinking was that it was too soon to go that metaphysical.
Yeah, that narrative. Sounds right. That sounds.
But I think we could do that now. Like now, we could probably get away with that because we've done so many other things.
we've gone so far beyond that.
Yes, way right. Further than that.
I think people would be like, "This is it."
Yeah.
Like
that. Right. Oh, it's just them being themselves. Yeah, that wouldn't be it. I was gonna say this. Buffoon season, was this the first time that we had one writer write all of the frame story? Because normally we actually leave that to whoever's writing the episode, right?
Yeah,
I think this was the first time. Yeah,
and I think it worked out so much better, honestly, because the part that I hate trying to, because we have a framework, we have that outline that you can go to and reference. So the episode is still yours, but you're working off of an already built outline. Whereas the frame story, when you're doing that, you're just like, okay, well, I have no idea where to go with this. And right. I hate it. So I loved that Andy took that.
Yes, well done, Andy. Andy well was done. The frame story writer for
Great
the
film,
in addition to being the lead story editor, a.k.a. outline writer.
Yeah, let's do that from now on. Pick somebody to
I'm a little
frame
confused
story
what we
What's that, Ryan?
I'm a little confused what the difference is. What did we do differently this time? I don't understand.
That's okay, buddy. No. It's okay, sweetheart.
Oh, bless your heart.
Yeah, everything you did was wonderful.
Now, but Ryan, how many episodes have you written now? You've written like a couple halves of episodes.
Point
I'm not
two,
saying
yeah.
that to
Point
me.
Five.
I did like a couple, two half episodes, and I believe I've done two whole episodes.
That's,
but,
you're,
but what, the,
you're
the
on
frames,
the staff, guy.
No, I know. No, I get it. I get it. no, but this frame. No, I haven't heard you say this frame story thing. What the hell are you?
The
talking?
Narrator. The narrator story.
Like the Maddie storyline.
Yeah,
it's a frame story.
Just the narrator.
Just the narrator.
Oh, the fact that. Oh. Okay. Yeah. No. That's really. Yeah. Jumping in right in the narrator. That's always hard. Yeah. No. Shut the fuck up, Tom. God damn it. I see what you mean. Narrator, that's what you meant. Yes, that was very nice to have Andy do all that.
That was very nice.
Yes. Oh, okay, I get it now. That's nice. That was a nice thing you boys did.
It's really good. Yeah. I agree.
That might have been the tightest question session we've ever done on this show.
Yeah.
Everybody had a question. Everybody had an answer.
That's right.
Let's ruin it by going into the next thing.
Okay. And we're back. And I believe we have a game from Tom.
Am I recording? Yeah. All right.
It would be it would be okay.
Okay. I think I said this last time I did the game, which is I wanted to think of a fun game to play, forgot, ran out of time, so now we're doing Weird History.
Whee!
That's all right.
All right. I love Weird History.
Let me just get up.
It's a weird.
Ready.
Historical.
I do have to keep my voice down because of my current location in the house, so I'm not going to do that.
It's okay. We're just glad to be here on our show that we do.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys ready? Waylon, you ready?
Yes. Let's do it.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. Everybody can hear me okay?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, absolutely.
Good. Very good.
Here's the first one. Ready?
Yes.
Just to be clear, you're going to tell me which one is true. I'm going to read two sentences. One of them is going to be true. One of them is going to be false. I'll go through all of you, and each one of you will tell me which one of those sentences is true.
So all at the same time, all three of us have to say which one we think is false.
I'm going to pick you, and then you're going to give me your response.
Okay. You're going to pick which one is false, and then we're going to choose which one of us.
Let's just go ahead, and you're going to get it. You're going to get it.
Okay.
During the Dust Bowl, people sewed clothes out of flour sacks. Money was tight. When flour distributors heard about it, they made their bags more colorful so the subsequent clothing would be more attractive. Or, a Native American named Blackbird was buried 100 Blackbirds. Let's start with Andy.
You know, I don't know why, but I knew you were going to go to me first. I think it's that sort of like, you know, whenever we're in game mode, it's just the connection just clicks in right away.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm going to go with flour sack is true.
Kane?
A flour sack.
And Waylon?
Flour sack.
Okay, you're all correct. So you all have
yes.
Yes.
There was a Native American man named Blackbird who was buried sitting on his favorite horse.
Mmm. Sitting. They buried him deep.
This one's a funny one.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. foot binding was a tradition in Chinese culture meant to limit the growth of women's feet. This was done so that they would be unable to travel far distance and therefore limit the possibility of escaping their sometimes brutal family life. Or, recent DNA tests have confirmed that King Tut's parents were in fact brother and sister. We'll start with Kane this time.
King Tut.
Waylon.
I'm going to go with King Tut.
And Andy.
I'm going to go with King Tut because I think that the foot binding was for looks.
Aesthetics, right?
Aesthetic, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I made these too easy. So let's just keep going. The Spanish donkey was a form of torture that involved having people sit naked on a board many feet in the air, and then torturers would then tie increasingly heavy weights to their feet.
Mm.
Or. Albert Einstein ran for president of Israel, formed, but lost in what is still the closest election in the country's history. And he did it primarily from America, only visiting Israel twice throughout the campaign. Let's start with Waylon.
Spanish donkey. I don't have any fun doing this anymore. This part of the
Is it this particular game or all game?
This particular game.
And why?
Just dealing with you and Ian pretty much during this.
We haven't been that bad this time though, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm running the game. I'm not doing anything.
You know what? Just the tone of your voice, I could just see. I can see your fucking face right now in my mind's eye, and it just makes me want to fucking puke.
that was a little harsh. I'm not gonna lie. Andy?
Oh man. Well, you know, we got to start making this thing interesting.
Here it goes.
Let's go with Einstein.
Kane?
I really think I would have heard about that Einstein thing.
I feel I'm no equivocating. Spanish donkey.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, Andy's down to one, and Kane and Whalen have three.
Good lead.
Yes.
Oh. Hey, was there anything true about that Einstein thing?
Yes, he was asked by Israel's party that wanted to nominate him. He was asked to run, and he did consider it.
Interesting.
But he ended up actually declining.
Of course he did. He was a humble, wonderful man.
Who gave us the most destructive weapon.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. There's a woman. She is named Anna Mae Dickinson. And she survived the sinking of the Titanic, sinking of the Lusitania. She survived the Hindenburg explosion, the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and the terrorist attacks of September 11th. Or Adolf Hitler asked to have his name removed from consideration for a Nobel Peace Prize. Let's start with Andy.
Are you implying with that first? Is it a all right.
Am I implying what?
Are you implying she survived as in she was
present
at those disasters? She could have died in those disasters, or she just was alive that long?
No, she was involved directly in those disasters.
Oh, okay.
And escaped almost certain death in each one.
Okay, very good. Wow, that's crazy. I'm going to go with Hitler.
Kane.
Hitler.
Whalen.
Sorry, Hitler.
You all got that one wrong.
Damn it!
Wow.
You know what threw? It was 9/11. It was 9/11 that made me be like, maybe all those other things.
You're telling me
9/11.
She was in the Twin Towers and on the Lusitania and on the Titanic.
Her apartment was destroyed by the collapse of the World Trade Center, and she was not in her apartment at that time.
I'll give that.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Hindenburg. What's that?
She was at the Hindenburg's crash site?
I don't know. I suppose so. She was either at the... Yeah, she must have been. I don't think there were any direct survivors of the...
This sounds like a good Rude Alchemy series. Anime Dickinson, immortal something.
The luckiest woman in the world. Do you want to take that?
I'd make her immortal.
What?
It's good.
I'll tell. You want to give me like 5? Try to
revive. Immortal...
Okay, we got to hurry up. Here we go. Okay, ready? just by the way, Andy has 0, Kane 2, and Whalen 2.
Wait,
You got 2 wrong.
Yeah, 2 right and then 2 wrong.
I said
and Adolf Hitler was, in fact, nominated for a Nobel Peace.
Oh, got it.
Nikola Tesla masturbated up to 5 times a day as he believed this helped his scientific ability.
Oh.
Or... Miners.
That's a bait.
Before alarm clocks were invented, people were hired to shoot peas at workers' windows to wake them up for their ship.
Anime Dickinson, immortal pea shooter, and we could make her like mash up history.
Okay.
Which one's true?
Who's first?
Kane.
Oh, sorry. Pea shooter.
Whalen.
Pea shooter.
What was the other one?
Nikola Tesla masturbated up to
5,000. All right. Nikola Tesla. Shit.
All right. Andy is negative one.
Son of a bitch.
Kanan Whalen.
It was six times, wasn't it?
He was chased. He was a lifelong bachelor, and he believed being chased would help his scientific abilities.
All the more reason to masturbate five times a day. I don't understand.
All right. It is almost universally believed by historians that Laurence Olivier was a closeted homosexual. Or it is almost universally believed by historians that Joseph Stalin was a closeted homosexual.
Oh my God.
Let's start with Whalen. Whalen?
Sorry, you broke up a little bit. Are you going starting with me?
Yeah, I'm starting with you, Whalen.
I didn't hear anything. I didn't hear my name. I'm sorry. okay, so either Stalin was homosexual or Laurence Olivier.
I feel like I just heard him say, like, homosexual.
we'll go with, I don't know, maybe just everyone knew that Olivier was a homosexual. Maybe that's the trick question aspect of it. But I'll go with Olivier.
Andy? Oh my God.
Stalin.
Kane?
No, I was just Stalin for time.
Kane said Olivier?
Yes, sir.
All right. Stalin. Andy is at negative two, and Kane is at... Kane and Whalen are tied at four.
this is the pattern. I get one wrong, and then I go with... the opposite answer, the one that seems less right, to try to make a big score and redeem myself.
This is the last one, so it's really a tiebreaker between Kane and Whalen. You guys both get
that. It's over.
Okay.
Miners in South Africa have unearthed several perfectly shaped spheres about the size of a human hand that are all etched with the same three lines around the center. They are presumed to be almost 3 billion years old. But aside from that, nothing is known about their origin. Or, a baby was once nominated for an Academy Award.
Oh, man.
Let's start with...
It's the perfect final question.
Let's start with Whalen.
Oh, man. The South America, they have all that like ancient alien stuff, so I'm just...
To be clear, I want to be clear.
Yeah, go ahead.
I am not naming any category in the Academy Award.
Oh, jeez.
So I just wanted to throw that out there. The sentence stands as it is.
What is that, like best set design or something with a baby in the back?
So, Whalen, your answer.
But the baby specifically was nominated. You're saying this infant anime Dickinson was nominated. Like her name was on, the infant's name was on the nomination card.
Yes. But for what category is not being specified. But a baby was once nominated for an Academy Award. That is the alleged fact. I would like you to tell me which one of the two facts
is
true.
It's true. South America. I'm going with the South America is true.
Kane?
Baby.
Was that because you think it is? You just
I still get to answer, don't I?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
I was really afraid you were about to blurt out the answer.
No.
Because I really wanted to do this. The baby. Obviously. All right, go ahead.
I bet that was so funny in your head. Well, this is awkward and very uncomfortable when this happened.
Why don't we just stop recording right now and we should probably just go home. We'll find another date in whatever month this is, September, to do this.
Okay. Andy has -3 points, so he clearly lost.
My God.
Kane has 3 points.
Oh.
And Waylon has 5. Wow. So according to my math, Waylon won, which is always the least funny scenario.
Can we check that math again?
It's never...
3 billion years old. It was the billion that threw me. It was the billion.
Well, the Earth is only like 4,000 years old, right? According to all the books I've read.
Oh, boy.
The baby thing was totally made up?
Ruin this.
Was there
100% made up.
Okay. So the category thing was there to throw us off.
Correct.
Good job, because it threw me off.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for weird history-ing us, Tom.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, gentlemen. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Tom. Good job. Good job.
You guys keep going. I'm going to hop off for a second.
Who's clapping?
Forever.
Was Tom clapping for himself?
No, I was clapping for you.
I clapped. I was clapping.
Oh, you were clapping. Okay.
And was Andy clapping?
I clapped for Ryan's wonderful victory.
Oh, is that?
I was clapping. I just want to make it clear. I was clapping for Tom.
For Tom. For crafting a good weird history.
Yeah. Should we just hang here?
Well, he didn't really give us a timeline. I've heard him say before he doesn't really listen to the stories, so we could probably just jump into it.
Okay.
Okay, and we're back, and here's the story. It's going to be from Ryan. It should be in the buffoon universe, although he can really do whatever he wants. Take it away, Ryan.
It's not one of your long, well-written stories like you guys do all the time, those ones. So here we go. I'm just going to jump into it here.
Whalen's doing a story? Whalen's doing a story?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cool. All right, here we go. Deep in the French countryside, nestled in the rolling foothills of the Alps, was a whisper of a community, which for some unknown reason, no record of its name exists today. A muddy crossroads with only a smattering of inhabitants. True, the landscape was something to admire, but this community was no exception to the medieval stereotype. Mud hovels topped with soggy thatched roofs, raw sewage sloshed onto the streets from its sickly inhabitants, large open potter's graves awaiting the nightly ox cart delivery of corpses from surrounding communities. And of course, zealous holy inquisitors who left burnt heretics, homosexuals, whores, and the occasional guy who no one really liked in their wake. One such victim of the purifying pyres was a young mother, Adelaise. Dark hair, hazel eyes, ruddy complexion. Plump, but not to excess. Which is uncommon considering the food shortages of the time, but it has been generally agreed upon that she suffered from a form of hypothyroidism. She was of a gentle nature overall, but yet she found herself abandoned by her husband and left with twin boys to care for all on her own. Women in that time had very few options to turn to, and many found their way into the oldest profession. Adelaise, was no exception. She cared for her boys in a hastily constructed ramshackle on the outskirts of town. It kept the wind off their backs and the rain off their heads. Shut that baby up!
Oh, boy.
Ruth, shut up! No, I take it back. She's a sweet, sweet child. She cared for her boys in a hastily constructed ramshackle on the outskirts of town. It kept the wind off their backs and the rain off their heads. Only a small berm separated the home from the road, which allowed Adelaise to catch the attention of travelers on their way through the hamlet. Always after she put her boys to bed. Always. She was careful and discerning when accepting a proposition, but no one can ever be sure of a stranger's true intentions. Winter was approaching, and with it an air of desperation creeped throughout the region. Adelaise feared she would not have enough food and other necessities to keep her boys alive through the cold season. In this unfortunate state, she grew less discerning in her work and began taking in more and more clientele. Towards the end of the autumn night, Adelaise caught the eye of a tall man with a tattered cloak, which covered him neck to toe. Normally, togs in such poor repair meant pockets with very little in them, but the man had good posture and a confident walk. It was worth a shot. She beckoned him come hither, and he accepted. She cycled through all of her charms and flirtatious strategies, and the man accepted again, with no bargaining over the price. The man sat in the only chair in the room, and Adelaide walked behind him and began to caress his shoulders. "So tight," she said. "Just relax, and don't think about anything else." Adelaide immediately felt the man wind up even tighter. She stood in front of him. "Let's at least take this old tattered cloak, and we'll start from there, all right?" she said. The man silently nodded, and Adelaide began to unbutton the cloak slowly at first, but each button revealed clean white material beneath, too clean for this part of the world. In a panic, she ripped the rest of the buttons open, ripped the rest of the buttons, opening the cloak fully, revealing priestly vestments. "No," she thought, and looked up at the man. "Sinner!" he exclaimed, and grabbed her by the arm and dragged her out of the shack in the direction of the town center. She fought hard, but he proved too strong, and she could not break his grasp. Her boys were awake, as they most always were, and began pursuing their mother and her captor, but fear kept them at a distance. They were only boys, after all. Hold on, I'm scrolling down. He was a Spaniard. His name, Padre Sebastian. Padre Sebastian Garza de Molinero. His duty was to root out unacceptable behaviors in the long-neglected countryside and be sure the consequences for such behavior were made crystal clear. Adelaide was an example. His shouts awoke the inhabitants, and they slowly began to mill about the town center. It didn't take long for everyone to catch on, and like many crowds do, they immediately forgot their own imperfections and misdeeds and focused on Adelaide's. It wasn't difficult for Sebastian to find willing accomplices to stack a pile of wood and douse it with pitch. They crowd encircled the woodpile and hushed as Molinero began his fiery sermon. It was exactly what you would expect, and not worth repeating. Honestly, it's not that I'm too lazy to write out a speech, or that I don't like to further dwell on terrible times my church fell upon, or anything like that, but, yeah. Everyone seemed to be deaf to Adelaide's pleas for help. When she saw no sympathetic faces, and her death could only be described as imminent, her thoughts fell upon her boys. Who would take care of them? Hopefully not some sleazy innkeeper and his wife. Maybe a really nice affluent man who knows the difficulties of poverty would take him in. Her thoughts were cut short by the lit torch landing on the pitch, igniting a violent blaze. Her last word, the names of her boys. Florian. Dorian. They had seen it all. Paralyzed with fear, they hid behind a watering trough, the bright light of the inferno reflecting in their eyes. Their mother seemed to disappear into the flames, and all they wanted to do was go find her and bring her back home. The crowd dispersed, Sebastian went on his way, and the boys descended upon the pile of embers and ash. Where did she go? They wondered. They began to dig in the pile. Maybe she's at the bottom, hiding. The coals were still searing, but the boys kept digging. Their arms burned, the ashes of their mother deep in their wounds. Where was she? Not at the bottom, not anywhere in sight. Maybe the next fire they come upon will reveal her whereabouts. Or the fire after that. Or maybe everything needs to burn to bring her back. And that's the end of my story.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, baby.
Love it.
Origin stories.
Yes. Florian and Dorian, the arsonists.
Ugh.
Mm.
Ugh, poor little darlings.
Excellent.
Andy, I put jokes in there for you, but I didn't hear you laugh at them. I guess
I did laugh.
I guess you didn't.
I did.
Just for Andy, you put them in just for him?
Well, I put in the fact that I was ripping off a lot of Les Miserables Fontaine storyline. Great job, Waylon.
Wait.
I did Les Miserables.
I missed that one completely.
When I said, let's see, what was it? It was when I said, the Ruth started crying.
Oh, yeah, Ruth ruined that one, yeah. I was going to ask you to repeat that joke, but...
Oh, okay. All
right. You know.
Really great, though, Waylon. Great job. Very funny and deep. A lot of levels. Really, really intricate.
levels.
You're all right.
I'm sorry, yeah. I wasn't able to. I'll listen.
Oh, Ruth sounds so sweet.
We don't have any questions, do we?
We don't have questions, but we have our folks to thank.
Okay, I have a question.
Oh.
Can I ask it purely out of vanity?
Yeah, of course, absolutely. Quickly.
What did you guys think of my rap?
Oh my goodness.
I texted you.
Yes, Tom, thank you. You don't have to answer.
Okay, Waylon, what did you think of Andy's rap?
It was fantastic. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
It's hard to do. Yeah. I wasn't surprised. I mean, I know that Andy is a fan of rap, and I know that he does it. What's up?
I'm going to have to hop off. But you guys have a great night. And I'll talk to you all soon, okay?
We love
good
you.
Luck. Good luck.
Love.
Bye, Ruth. Bye, Ruth.
Thanks, listeners. Bye, baby, love Ruth. You guys.
Yeah, Andy, I know that Andy is a rap fan. I know that he's a rap historian, particularly when it comes to the gangster rap of the 1990s.
Really?
And so I wasn't at all surprised that he wanted to spit bars. He came on and he wanted to spit some bars, and that's exactly what he did.
Shit, son.
So thank you. And I appreciated the saying everyone's name. Announcer, narrator, Courtney. Yeah, thank you for doing it.
You're welcome. I was hoping you'd draw attention to the depth of the internal rhyming, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, you had a string there. You had a string that I was like, all right, I'm feeling it. I am.
Sorry, I'm just I wanted my ego stroked on that one, because
now if you played like a hammer dulcimer song, I would really be like, oh shit.
yeah, I get you.
I mean, like, rap is like I know you got that in you. I know you have it inside you.
Oh, we used to spit wonderful rhymes.
Sorry, Ryan. We used to spit wonderful rhymes in tech rehearsal. Remember, we would do freestyle jam sessions.
Yeah, just bad. I felt like that wasn't any good on my behalf. But yeah, I remember trying.
You were the best one. I mean, we were all bad, but you were by far the best.
I was the best of the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. What were you gonna say?
No, I was just saying we just got an 1880s era pedal pump reed organ. Maybe we could use
Who's we? You just at your house? You did?
Yeah. Bethany and I, we picked it up. Yeah, it was free.
So it was free.
Took a picture of it. Yeah.
How's it sound?
Pretty good. It sounds good. All the stops work on it and stuff. There's only a handful. Oh. It's just like a little parlor reed organ. They're fun.
That's
people
amazing.
Just throw them out. They don't want them anymore.
Can you play it at all? Do you like know?
No. I like the way it sounds. I like I'll play chords and stuff.
I think
it's a decoration.
You should score the next episode of whatever we do live with that thing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I wanted to do a little short narrator video with it, you know, where it's
please.
You know, you just see him playing.
It could just be a lesson. He could just give us a lesson on how it works, how to play it.
Exactly. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. And I think we can just see you at this point. I don't care. Clearly you're the narrator.
Yeah.
Shall I say thank you to our Rudiment Alchemic people?
Please do.
Yes.
All right. We want to say thank you to our Tomb Depth denizens, Aaron Ricklick and Hunter the Dervish Derbage. And we want to say thank you to our Catacomb Depth denizens, Mordecai Shachna, Zach McGee, Derek Haynes, Heather Kelleher, and Michael Bonani. All of these wonderful patrons on Patreon. Thank you very much. And also everyone that is supporting us on Patreon, we posted our release schedule from now until December, the end of December. So those of you on Patreon will be able to see what we have coming down the pike for you all. And everybody else, you're just going to have to wait.
Wee!
So thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody. And goodbye.
Yeah, have a great night. Long. Just enjoy it. Bye.
Alchemy is Mr. Thomas Hodgkin, Mr. Andrew Kane, Mr. Andy Wittner, and Mr. Ryan Whalen. This episode's story written by Mr. Whalen. Intro and outro music by Old Town Wake. All other music composed by Mr. Benjamin J. Robb. Be sure to like and follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. To support Rude Alchemy and gain access to exclusive bonus content like blooper reels from every season, visit rudealchemy.com/support.